just suppose that you have a disease that is very, very serious. In fact, you have come to realize that it could be fatal. Maybe you have tried some of the medicines that you have, or you have tried to come up with a medicine by yourself and you have failed. No one in your family knows anything that will take care of it. Nobody among your friends has any cure. And then one day the phone rings and there's the voice of a doctor on the other end of it, and he says, "I know that you have a very serious disease, and I have the medicine that will heal it and control it for the rest of your life." And you say, "But doctor, I don't have much money." And he says, "That's all right, it's already been paid for." And you say, "Well, how do I get it?" And he says, "It's right there, close by. All you've got to do is to reach out and take it, believe that it will work, and take it according to the prescription and continue to take it. And I'll guarantee you that your disease will be cured. And if you continue to take it, it will be controlled to where you'll never have to suffer from it again. Would you be interested in using that medicine?" I think you would. In fact, there are some people living today with diseases for which there is no known cure, who've tried to come up with a cure by themselves, who've tried to come up with a cure among their friends and their families and have not been able to find one. I don't believe that there is a person in this audience this morning who, if he had a disease such as that and received such a call, would turn a deaf ear to that call. And yet that may be exactly what some of us are doing. Because, you see, all of us who are here this morning, who have passed out of the age of innocence, have a disease for which we personally have no cure. We have the disease of sin. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1:10, and two verses earlier, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There is not a one of us here this morning who has come through and passed the age of innocence but who is guilty of sin. And as far as I know, there is not anything that I have available by myself that I have made for myself that will take care of sin. And so far as I know, there is not anything that any family member that I have has or any friend that I have has that can give me a cure for that sin. And yet, there is the call that is ringing through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where the great physician says, "I have the cure." But what's it going to cost? Already paid for. Where can I get it? It's available right there next to you. What do I have to do? Nothing except believe that it will work and apply it according to the prescription. Folks, the forgiveness of sin may be the greatest blessing that you and I have. Oh, I know if you were to start today to make a list of all your blessings and count them one by one, you might put heaven at the top of the list, but sin cannot go into heaven, Revelation 21:27, so the real problem is sin. You might say an abundant life here, but it's not possible to have an abundant life here and live in sin. And so again, I say that forgiveness may very well be the greatest blessing that's available to any of us. Aren't you glad this morning that we have the opportunity of forgiveness? I tell you, it's a terrible thing to have a disease and know of no cure. It's even a terrible thing to be associated with those who have a disease for which there is no cure. Time and time again, in my work as a minister, I have sat by the side of someone to whom the doctor had said, I don't know of anything that can be done. There's nothing else that is available. This is a terminal illness, and there is nothing that can be done. It is a terrible thing to face that situation. And some of our families and friends have faced it and are facing it even today. But how much more terrible would it be to realize that we sin, sin can't go to heaven, and then not know of an answer for that sin or a cure for that sin? Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible to live with the idea that I have something that can cause me eternal death, and I don't have anything that can take care of it? There's nothing I can do about it. Oh, it's terrible to have somebody who won't forgive you. And it is a sad thing, it's a bad thing, when there has been a mistake and you ask for forgiveness and that person says, I won't forgive. But wouldn't it be terrible if God had that attitude? And in reality, he deserves to have that attitude because we left him. He doesn't owe us anything. But thanks be to the gracious God that we have. He offers forgiveness, and he offers a cure for every sin that you and I have committed or might ever commit in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. He offers us justification. Romans 5:9 talks about being justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means bringing about what is necessary to satisfy the justice situation, justification. When I think of that judicial term, I like to think in terms of getting rid of guilt. I don't have to live being guilty and feeling guilty about sin. Although without God, I should. And certainly there is an element of guilt that ought to be there to make it right, but I don't have to live a life. You don't have to live a life that is filled with guilt to where you bear the burden every day of the guilt of sin, because there is justification involved with forgiveness. There is purification. You and I would be very dirty and filthy, spiritually speaking, if it were not for this medicine that we're talking about this morning. If it were not for the forgiveness that we have and the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, our lives, spiritually speaking, would be filthy and dirty. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. Notice, cleanseth us from all sin. It is said that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah 1. Though we are involved in the filth of the flesh, we can receive forgiveness. And when we rise from the watery graves of baptism, the Bible says that we are as a newborn babe. We are new. We are clean because of the forgiveness of God. There is also reconciliation in this forgiveness. Where sin separates from God, separates man from God, Isaiah 59:1-2, forgiveness takes care of that and brings the ends back together and makes it possible for us to be in fellowship with God, for us to be his sons and daughters, and for him to be our Father. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. And this forgiveness that we're talking about even has to do with the idea of remission. Putting the disease in remission. Paying the debt. Wiping the slate clean. Suppose you went to some business where you owe a great deal and they pull up on the computer screen the record of your debt. And then a few days later, you go back and look at it again and they pull up the record and it's not there. Nothing that you owe is there. And you wonder why, and they say it's because somebody else paid the debt for you, and it's as though you never had the debt. It is wiped clean. That's what's involved in that word remission. In Acts 2:38, when we repent and are baptized for the remission of sins, we have remission. Jesus said in Matthew 26:28 that his blood of the New Testament is shed for the remission of sins, for the remission. And that word especially fits in with this picture of a disease. There's some of us, perhaps even in the audience this morning, who have had a disease that's now in remission. It's not active anymore. And there is a medicine that will control it to where it can be kept in remission, and it doesn't act up anymore. There are some people who have to take medicine the rest of their lives in order to keep that disease under control. I think that's the way it is with the forgiveness of God based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. That his blood will cleanse us from all sins, and in him we can have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And by holding on to him as a penitent believer, we can be cleared of that disease and have that disease under control the rest of our lives, to where we can die in Christ and have the opportunity of eternal salvation. Again, I say, I just don't believe that there is any blessing that we have in this life that is more important than the blessing of forgiveness. And one of the reasons is that all of us are involved. All of us need forgiveness. This is not one of those blessings that maybe just some certain people need from God. This is one where all of us are involved. And all of us need the forgiveness of God. Let me share with you three or four thoughts about this forgiveness that are extremely important as we try to put it in proper focus. Number one, the great physician that we're talking about wants everybody to be able to use the medicine. Sometimes when something's discovered, it may be because of cost or availability or something else, that some people have it and others don't. God wants everybody to have forgiveness. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want the disease of sin to cause spiritual death for anybody. He wants everybody to have the opportunity to apply this medicine and to receive the forgiveness to get the disease under control. Now, God will let us continue to live in sin. He won't force us. He will even let us die in sin. He won't force us. And he will even let us be lost eternally because of what sin is. But he doesn't want it that way. There may even be times that people become so involved in sin that they are so steeped in it that they cannot be touched with the power of God, and he may even give one over to a reprobate mind, but he doesn't want to. God wants everybody to have the blessing of forgiveness. And number two, he has made it possible for there to be a way that everybody can have it. Jesus died once for all, Hebrews 10:9-10. God gave his son that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, John 3:16. God has set up a way that everybody can have forgiveness. That's what God wants, and he has provided the way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now that is according to a prescription. You and I don't expect to get a medicine and just forget the prescription. Doctor prescribes something. He tells us how much, how often, how long. We respect those points. And we understand that even if that doctor had paid for that medicine himself completely and has given it to us, that we've got to reach out and take it and use it according to the prescription for it to be beneficial to us. That's the way God's blessing of forgiveness is. Except a man believe that I am he, shall die in his sins, Jesus said in John 8:24. Oh, you've got the disease, and now if you don't listen to the prescription, you'll die in your sins. There's something that you've got to consider. Except a man repent, he'll likewise perish, Luke 13:3-5. And remember that passage, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has a prescription as to how his medicine can be used. And except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. God wants everybody to have this forgiveness. He wants everybody to use this medicine. But he has a prescription. He has graciously made that prescription available. He has graciously made the medicine available. And has graciously told us what we need to do in order to apply it and to take advantage of it. But he has a pattern. He has a prescription. He has a plan. I don't believe that there is a one of us today who would go to a doctor who says, I can give you the medicine that will cure your disease. And I'll even give it to you. I won't charge you for it. All you're going to have to do is to believe that it will work and take it and apply it and use it. I don't believe there's a one of us who would think that we could take that medicine home and put it up on the shelf and leave it and that it would do any good. And I don't think there's any of us who had a serious disease, if we had medicine like that, who would want to take it and put it on the shelf. We would want to use it just as quickly as we could. And we need to have that attitude toward God's medicine. We need to have that attitude toward His promise to take advantage of what is available. God wants us to use the medicine. And He has a prescription for us to use it and has even revealed that prescription to us in His Word, that we can know what He wants and know how to do what He tells us to do in order to receive the forgiveness. I'm also thankful that when I look at God's Word, I can see the teaching that convinces me that when God forgives, He forgets. And He wipes that slate clean, as we were talking about a moment ago. And there is a sense in which God looks at that person who becomes a Christian and lives a Christian life as though he had never been sick. When God forgives, He forgets. Hebrews 8:12, 10:27 both state that, quoting from the Old Testament, the teaching that's even back at that time. I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. God gives us forgiveness, folks, in the sense that it is complete forgiveness. It's not partial. It's not, I'll try to forgive you. It's not, I'll see if I can get around to it. It is complete forgiveness, and He forgets that it ever happened. But there is another angle that we need to understand, and that is that God doesn't forget until He forgives. You bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Whether it's good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Because all things are open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4:12-13. There's nothing in the world that we can do about the disease of sin unless we let the medicine of God take its effect. That's the only place. I don't know where there is any medicine that'll take care of sin that I can produce. I can't do it by myself. And I don't know of a friend that I have or anybody in my family that has any medicine that will take care of sin. The only place is with the great physician who has said, here's the cure, here's the prescription, it's paid for by the death on the cross. And not only will it work to take care of the disease from here back, but you can also continue to use it and it'll take care of the disease from here on. That's really what the blood of Jesus Christ does. When you and I are baptized as penitent believers, it takes care of the disease from there back. And from that point on, as we prayerfully, penitently, humbly hold on to Christ as a Savior, it takes care of the disease from there on. Now you tell me where you can find a medicine like that. A cure like that. And you know, there's one thing that I just don't understand. I never have, and I don't today. I don't understand how you and I physically can put this idea in focus and spiritually cannot. We can physically understand that there is a medicine, there is a prescription, it has to be used, and we have to continue to use it as long as the prescription says. You and I understand that without any difficulty. Why can't we understand that there is a medicine, there is a prescription, it must be used, and we must continue to use it in order to be cured? And something else that I don't understand. I don't understand why people would travel all the way around the world to find a medicine for a physical disease, and they won't walk a few yards to Jesus Christ to find the medicine for a spiritual disease. I think you and I know that the medicine is there. I don't believe there is an adult in this audience today, but who understands that the answer to sin is in the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that comes from God. We understand that. And I believe we understand the prescription. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sin. Keep on living and holding on to Christ and be penitent. Confess sins, pray to God as there are mistakes. I think we understand the prescription. Why? Tell me why. We won't take the medicine and use it. God offers forgiveness to every person. It's even paid for. All you've got to do is to believe it, accept it, and apply it. And that application comes through obedience to His will. You need to be baptized for the remission of sins. If you need to repent and pray for the remission of sins, let us help you as together we stand and sing.